This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And I'm still wondering where they got that clip from.
You.
Yeah, I know.
The short answer.
I don't remember doing it, though.
You don't remember anything.
Well, I'm
sorry. Joining us is Peter Cohen, Quest Mission Integrator from NASA.
Right. The X-59.
X-59.
Yeah.
I understand Pinocchio was in the running. We asked for Cyrano. I think the plane should be called Cyrano. A little obtuse. Well.
We just like to call it the 38-foot schnoz.
Jimmy Durante,
the
there you go.
Mobile. You going to fly the schnoz plane today?
So, you know, it seems to me that this airplane, basically being a supersonic lawn dart, you got to be kind of careful when you're walking around it. You can get hurt on this thing.
Not that sharp.
Well, I imagine
we don't like lawn dart either. That's kind of got a negative connotation.
It does.
Very much.
It does. Well, stop that.
Okay.
I imagine taxiing is going to be interesting because if you're swinging around a corner, that the nose wheel's so far back, you got to watch you don't whack that thing on stuff.
Yeah,
that's
one of the things we're really going to have to look at that carefully. It's been a long time. Back in the high-speed research program, we built this giant vehicle that was just for ground operations called Surface Vehicle Operations, SOREV.
Okay.
But we don't have something like that. So for our first taxis, we're going to have a lot of eyes on the front of the airplane watching what happens.
Yeah, yeah. You're a mission integrator. Integrator to me means putting everything together. So are we talking the hardware, the machine itself, or the mission planning and all that?
It's more the mission planning. So okay. we've got an aircraft build. We're building some specialized instrumentation for recording information in the air and on the ground. And in the end, we're going to get to the point where we have a large team out in the field doing a community survey. And as mission integrator, I call myself the chief cat herder.
Right.
My job is to get everything to the finish line at the same time so that we can do the community testing.
Okay, so you're still in planning phases now. I mean, the aircraft has not yet flown.
It has not yet flown. It's basically finished. We had the rollout ceremony back in January.
I saw the video. That was impressive.
With its new paint job, it looked really good.
It looked fast.
It does look fast. Right now, we're doing the kind of the hard stuff, trying to make all the systems, make sure they talk to each other and everything's working properly. We're getting real close to running the engine for the first time and hopefully be flying by the end of the year. But that's really just the start of the mission.
Most of us, not ever having been involved in a program such like that, you'd think, well, if it was my car, I would just push it out of the garage and start it. What's the delay? Why does it take so long to get to the point where you start the engine?
There's just a lot of complicated systems that need to talk to each other, and you know, if you go too fast, you wind up going very slow because you'll break something.
So. Well, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. So and that's one of the hard parts about aircraft nowadays is that the systems themselves are so complicated. Back in World War II, you just built the airplane, threw the engine in, it kick-started and go. Yeah. Now you've got all these computer systems.
Yeah, a lot of, if you look back on the old X plane, if you borrowed a landing gear from something, all you had to do was hook up the hydraulic lines, basically. But, you know, we've got an F-16 landing gear, and it's complicated electronically, and it's got to talk to our F-117 control stick and our F-18 throttles. And even though those are airplanes that are, you know, up until recently still flying, that engineering data is now a little old, and it's hard to dig up, and it's just hard to make all those connections. So that's kind of what was one of the things that's driving us to take our time and
I can just
sort
see
those
that
things out.
Guys in there Googling F-18 wiring diagram for control stick.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing of it being is, like you said, the airplane, getting the airplane flying, that's only half the battle.
Right.
You've still got a whole ground crew to support.
Yeah. So we're going to do something with this X plane that most X planes never do. We're going to fly it outside of restricted airspace. We'll be flying in the National Airspace System, flying it over people, over the communities. So it's extra important that we check every box and make sure that it's safe to fly and robust to fly too, because we're going to be flying at a flight rate much higher than most X planes fly as well to do these community tests.
Well, that brings up a whole other series of questions. You're going to have to coordinate with air traffic control and center because they're not going to be used to an airplane transitioning their airspace at the speeds you guys are talking about.
So the upside is we'll be high. So once we get through their airspace, we're less of a problem. But that is one of the things. So right now we're kind of working on finding airfields that we can fly the X-59 from, and then communities around those airfields that we can fly for our community testing. As part of that, we're also going to talk to the center and the local air traffic controllers and find out what their airspace situation is, and let them know how we're going to fly and see if they can identify any issues that they'll need to work if we're going to fly there.
Okay. We're speaking with Peter Cohen from NASA. When you're talking about airfields, you're not going to be flying into commercial airports per se.
No, not really. So
you're thinking military field only?
There's a couple of things. The big thing is field length. The airplane does have an emergency hydrazine system, so we have to be able to support that system. We want to avoid congested airspace because we won't have a lot of fuel. We'll need to get up and down quickly. So that kind of says mostly military airfields are the best choices. There are a couple of joint military-civilian airfields that are also in the running.
Okay. Dover. Bring them to Dover. That way you can fly over Philly.
Well, hey, if Willow Grove had been open, you could get in and out of there, 7,000-foot runway.
We actually need 10,000-foot runway.
Well, then you're at Philly International.
Then your wing is not making enough lift. It's only one person.
Well, the bigger problem is landing.
Right,
Because we have a fairly high landing speed. We have no speed brakes. We have no parachute.
Did we forget about that in the design phase? How are we going to stop this thing?
It was one, you know, you make decisions, but it's just, you know, you've got to set the airplane down, let it roll until you're at the energy level where you can put the brakes on. So it'll be safe, but, you know, and who knows? We might get to the point where we're comfortable going in shorter, but we're starting out with 10,000 feet.
Now, that begs a question. It's probably too early to even ask this, but will there be a ship number two, possibly, with changes?
Very unlikely.
Okay.
This is a one-off deal then?
This is kind of a one-off deal.
And you're hoping to find out everything you need to know right here.
Right with this airplane. Yeah. Okay. At least everything we need to know about sonic boom noise reduction and community response to quiet supersonic flight.
Okay.
That seems a bit of an oxymoron. Quiet supersonic flight. You guys are well on the way of doing it. Now, let's look at this program way down the pipeline. What are you going to do with the airplane when all this research is over?
So it's kind of that's TBD.
You have
a supersonic aircraft, and knowing our researchers, they will come up with some use for it. But it is an X-plane; it's suited for a very unique purpose. Once that purpose is done, you know, you have to think about what's the best way to do the next thing. And I personally would love to see it in the Smithsonian someday.
I'm sure I will.
I would too. Yeah.
They'll take the engine out though.
Well, because I always do. You do not. Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of work ahead of you, especially with the ground crew and everything, all the logistics and support.
So we have been working that pretty hard. We've got, you know, so phase two is the acoustic validation. There's a lot of measurements being taken there. We've got a dry run coming up for that where we're going to practice everything, except we're not going to have the X-59. We're just going to use one of our F-15s. We got a whole team working on all the aspects of the community response testing. So when we hit those milestones, we're ready to go.
So the community response, it's a guy calling people going, hey, what'd you think?
It's a computer calling people and saying, hey,
exactly.
What did you think?
Yeah. We want to talk to you about...
It's a computer calling 1,000 people and asking, what do you think?
I'd love to be on that list. But anyway, your mission requirements are still not well defined yet. You're, like you said, you don't have your locations, you don't have your airfields. So there's a lot up in the air.
So the mission requirements are pretty straightforward. Fly for 50 miles supersonic over a community. That's kind of, and create a quiet supersonic sound. The details of, you know, how we're going to operate when we do a specific deployment and activity, those we need to work out yet.
Okay. Hardware is pretty well set, obviously. Yep. So as long as they don't expose anything major, your timeline is...
So we're behind schedule for sure.
Everybody's behind schedule.
But the good news is everything is just some little thing that needs to be fixed. We haven't found anything that's a real showstopper or that says we have to really do something different with the airplane.
Okay, so it's not like you're running around and going, hey guys, we forgot the engine.
Yeah.
It's not one of those moments where you do a face palm and go, crap,
no,
darn,
no.
No cup holder. So 50 miles, that's about, 5 minutes worth of flight?
That's about right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's underwhelming after all that, all those years of work. It's like over 5 minutes.
You cover a lot of ground, though.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
said you were going to use the F-15 to check out your acoustic gear. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing this out in the desert, I assume?
Out in the desert, out in the restricted airspace around NASA Armstrong and Edwards Air Force Base.
Can we go along to watch this?
There's a lot of places where you can watch from. The airplane will be rather high, though.
Yeah, a little
you
dot.
You might see a little dot.
When you do your acoustic measurements of the actual flight, you're also going to have to take in take into account, record ambient noise levels.
That's correct.
To begin with, and then see how much you affect it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So we will have microphones, or ground recording systems, we call them, spread throughout the community, and they'll record the background noise and the signal, and we've got to separate that out to understand how loud it was.
Okay. So everything is, time code synced and
exactly.
things like that.
Exactly.
GPS,
yep.
this,
yep.
that.
And it's a big data management problem.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not your problem. That's them. I just told them where to put it. So, well, when do you anticipate engine start?
Could be as early as next month. We're really hoping early next month.
Well, good luck with that.
We're checking off. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Peter Cohen from NASA, Quest Mission Integrator.
The X-59.
And when you Google Quest, it's two S's.
Yes.
Get that right, or you'll go off. Anyway, I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.